What if the first step to changing politics isn't winning an argument, but entering into someone's joy and pain? In a culture that demonizes the other side, have we forgotten that every person is made in the image of God? In this devotional, let's discover how rejoicing with those who rejoice and weeping with those who weep can reshape both your heart and the public square. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington the Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. Hey, I hope you're having a fantastic day today. We're going to dive into God's Word here in just a few moments. But before we do, if you haven't checked out FPIW or FPIW Action, I want to encourage you to check out those two websites. Also, if you're enjoying this series, Transformed Living, a Romans 12 Roadmap, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, and comment. And if you're inside that Washington Defender app, place this inside of your huddle. It really does help us accomplish our goal. If you're a financial supporter, you are helping us accomplish our goal as well. And what is our goal? Well, we want to change our hearts so that we change the public square. All right, so we are in Romans chapter 12, and the question is, whose joy or sorrow are you resisting entering into? And what step could you take today to enter into their pain? All right, let's look at Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 15. It says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in all diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Yes, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep." One of the things that I'm seeing in the political realm or in the government realm is that we have become so polarized that we have lost empathy and or sympathy. What do I mean by that? We've started to demonize each other as and labeling each other as Democrat, Republican, woke, progressive, conservative, you know, nationalist. We put all these labels on each other, and I'm guilty of it too. At the same time, we have forgotten that we are created in the image of God, created for the purpose of God, and that we are here to see people's lives changed and transformed. So the first thing it says, rejoice with those who rejoice. How can you do that practically today? As you go throughout the public square, how can you rejoice with those who are rejoicing? I think that sometimes our joy is found in government systems rather than in the Lord. And we need to find that place where we can rejoice in the things of God. All right, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, it says, "To sum up, all of you are to be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit." So that is how we are to live with and for each other: harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit. Now, just because we are those things doesn't mean that there's an absence of truth. Whenever I read a laundry list like that, people are like, "Oh, see, he's saying don't be truthful. The only way you can be harmonious is if we don't share our opinions." No, both sides need to come together and understand we have different perspectives, different angles, and give good faith negotiation and discussion on topics that we differ on so that the best ideas can begin to win. Ephesians 4:32, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you." So we are called to rejoice with those who rejoice. How? By being kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as Christ has forgiven us. And how has Christ forgiven us? By faith through grace. And that's how we need to be forgiving people, is by faith through grace. So here's a public square application for you. Do you have sympathy for those with whom you do not agree? Do you have empathy or sympathy with those with whom you do not agree? So maybe they're lost. Maybe they don't know Jesus. Does your heart break for them? I think some of us want people to have political ideologies that align with a certain perspective more than people hearing the gospel message. So I truly believe that when you hear the gospel message, you're going to arrive at certain outcomes about loving your neighbor and caring for those with whom you've come in contact with. So you'll create policy that aligns with that as well. All right, let's talk about weeping with those who weep. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Brethren, if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. So if someone's caught in a trespass, now, what would be a trespass? In sin, in being in land or property that they're not supposed to be on. So right now we have a whole bunch of people who call themselves Christians, and they say things that are contrary to a biblical worldview. Then what are we supposed to do? Restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. And that's something I struggle with, is how to be gentle in those moments. I wanted to say, hey, listen, knucklehead, you've got to straighten up. That's not in the Bible. And here's what the Word of God says. And their ears oftentimes close off. Each one looking to yourself. So self-examination first. What are the areas in my life, if I want to have empathy for someone else or sympathy towards someone else, what are the areas in my life that I'm missing that God's calling me to replace of repentance? And to turn to the living God and allow Him to speak to our hearts and our minds, and to know that we have areas that God wants us to look inwardly at. So we want to have a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Pride, arrogance, power, all those kind of things that we can be tempted by. And how do we live in such a way that we too are not tempted in those areas? For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. That's that bearing up, that sympathy and empathy that God's wanting us to have today. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. I love this because the Bible tells us we're not anything. Without Christ, we are nothing. And so we need to be very careful of that. But each one must examine himself, and then he will have reason to boast in regards to himself alone and not in regards to another. For each one will bear his own load. So yes, we have burdens to bear of each other. And then ultimately we have to carry our own load. Okay, our final verse for today is, seeing the people, he felt compassion. Jesus, seeing the people, felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. So much of what's happening in the political realm is because fathers have stepped down from advocating for their families. And because of that, we have many, many adult children who are like sheep without a shepherd. I want to encourage you to walk in the things of God, to once again weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. Then Jesus said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few.
Excuse me.
Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest. So think about how we might walk in the things of God and to see the things of God operating, and how will we have sympathy for those who are deceived, who do not know the truth. So let's pray, and then we'll be done for the day. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. Go before us in all things, God. Surround us in all things. And God, we love you, and we're committed to serving you. In Jesus' name, amen. Go out and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment the champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.